Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds and souls to the truth of your word. Amen. Today we are reading from Colossians 3, starting at verse 18. I'm going to encourage you to open your Bibles and to keep them open, not only while we read these words, but as we contemplate them. Let us hear the word of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Usually before Pastor Daniel or I read a scripture, we give a brief, and sometimes not quite so brief, description of the setting of the words. But today I read this passage without providing context, and that is because it is how these words are often used, without context. And these words matter because they are not warm, fuzzy words. These words matter because they can be used for good, or they can be used to cause trauma and harm to others. These words matter because they can be understood in the light of Christ, or they can be taken out of context and be used to justify how we treat others in a sinful world. Now, reputable statistics tell us that 30% of women across the world are abused by a spouse or partner in the home. Even in the 21st century, in our day and time, women are still considered property in some cultures, and in others are denied the basic freedoms of education, travel, and marital choice. In 2024, women working full time in the United States earned only 85% of men working in that same position. Just months ago, one of our country's leaders reposted a social media post, and this post suggested that instead of having one vote per adult, we should have one vote per household, and that vote would be given to the husband. Although owning slaves is no longer legal in most parts of the world, it is estimated that 50 million people are in some type of servitude, whether it be forced labor, forced marriages, or some other form of exploitation. 20,000 girls and women are caught up in human trafficking in the U.S. alone. Believe it or not, religion is often used to justify subjugation and even abuse. The words of our Bible have been used for centuries to validate these actions. Taken out of context, they have been used to justify making women second-class citizens, literally. They have been used as a basis for corporal child abuse, punishing them in the name of God. And this specific passage in Colossians was used throughout the ages, especially in the 1800s, to justify one person owning and controlling another one in slavery. Because if men and women were equal, and if slavery was wrong, why would Paul have written these words? So let's look at why Paul may have included these words in this letter and why they are relevant even today when we think our society is different. If you're looking at your Bibles or if your memory is good, you may remember just a few weeks ago the passage that we read. You have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And having said that, why then would Paul seemingly make distinctions that he states no longer exist? How do the words, "women submit to your husbands" and "slaves obey your masters," belong in the same set of instructions, the same teaching that clearly says there is no male or female, there is no slave or free? Because, never forget this, in this letter, Paul is preaching the gospel of Christ. Paul is preaching the core of the gospel and is encouraging new believers to absorb the truth and to teach it to others. Paul is living firmly and freely in the new covenant of Christ Jesus. But at the same time, Paul is in prison because he's living and he's preaching in a broken world. His entire focus in this part of the letter is to encourage believers to let go of the old way of life, to let go of broken relationships, to look up to Christ, not down to sin. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Take off the old and put on the new. Paul is smart enough to know that we cannot just do that. We can't just do that on our own. He cannot even get rid of his own sinful nature. Only Christ can do that. And Christ has done that already. The good news of the gospel is that this has already happened. It is in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus that we have already been redeemed. Our sin has been forgiven, and we have been given the hope of eternal life in God's presence. The Christian church is a product of the resurrection. It is formed in Christ's sacrifice, and it gives us a safe place to live in the new covenant. When we share the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes, we are remembering that we are invited to live in the new covenant of Christ Jesus. Remember that as we talk about these hard verses. Because the interpretation of these verses goes back to broken relationships. God's curse upon Eve and Adam came after the fall. He did not create them with a curse. Once the world had been created with light and darkness, plants and animals, oceans and dry land, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." It is not good. Remember that on each day of creation, God looked at what he had created, and he pronounced it good. But here, he is recognizing something that is not good. It is not good for the man to be alone. So God made a woman from the rib he took from Adam, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." God, in his wisdom, recognized that humans were not complete without other humans. And so he created the very closest of relationships. We were literally created to be in relationship. And initially, it was equal. Humans walked with God in the garden, and there was no shame. Shame came with the fall, because it was after the original sin that they recognized their nakedness. And inequality came after the fall. It came along with broken relationships. No longer were Adam and Eve able to walk with God in the garden. No longer were they without shame. So the passage where Eve is made subject to Adam comes in a world that is broken, not in the original creation. Their relationship was created to make them whole. It was sin that made them separate. Submit, obey. These are the words of unequal relationships. Now, Paul does not challenge the form of these relationships in this letter. What Paul does is to teach that while these may exist in society, they have no place in the church. They have no place in God's kingdom. Lives that are lived in the light of Christ do not accept these inequalities. So Paul is teaching here with these hard words, basically how to live in Christ when the relationships are not equal. With creation, we were so close to being one. But today in our sinful world, there is inequality in every single relationship. Whether it is a friendship between humans, regardless of gender, whether it's an association between humans and the world around us, whether it is our relationship with God, it is unequal. We are bosses or employees, elders who make the policy in church, or the volunteers who must make that policy work in the congregation. We are shoppers at a store or fatigued cashiers who have to make it right for us. We are diners in a fancy restaurant, or we are servers and bartenders. Sometimes we are in charge. Sometimes we are the servants. We don't live in a perfect world. We can't live in a perfect world. Not yet. What we can do is to live faithfully in the world that we have. So how do we live faithfully in Christ when the very nature of our relationships is sinful and unequal? Paul speaks to three specific types of relationships. The first is wife and husband. Women, submit to your husbands. These can be hateful words. These can be words giving one person power over another. But listen to how it's actually written. Women, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. What does it mean to submit? The word submit, whether you look at it in Greek or Latin, means to put under. It orders things. We today, for good reason, think of it as obey. In Philippians, though, Paul wrote about this exact thing. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. That is the Christian definition of submission. And it is not restricted to women. Paul is talking to every one of us. Then he turns to the men who people assume are the ones in charge. Men, in any relationship, clothe yourself in love. Love is the equalizer. Love takes things from being unequal to being equal. Remember, in Paul's churches, women were very important and played a significant leadership role. They were not second-class citizens of Christ's church. Paul is highlighting two parts of an unequal relationship. Each must submit, and each must love. It is two parts made whole in Christ. The second is children and parents. Children, obey your father. Well, for a household to be functional and harmonious, somebody probably has to be in charge. But fathers, understand what damage you can do to the relationship with your children. Do not embitter your children. Again, an unequal relationship where one person may have to let their needs and wants be secondary, but the other one cannot take advantage of that situation. The third is slave and master. And there's a lot of time spent on this, which probably means that it was of great concern at this time in Colossus. Remember that the house churches included slaves, and in fact, slaves were often very active in the churches. Sometimes the masters were believers, and sometimes not. So Paul is speaking to a difficult situation. But as with the rest of this letter, he is talking to all of us. He starts out teaching that one who has placed the other, in this case, the slave, that person must obey their master, not only when he is looking, but when you are acting alone. In other words, do what is right and what is expected of you at all times. Work at it with your whole heart. These words should guide everything that we do in our lives. And now to the master. Remember that though you are a master of some, you are also being held accountable by your master in heaven. Paul is making it clear that all of us, in whatever status we hold, must be living in the truth of the gospel. In other words, whatever role we play in our society, we all have a master who expects us to reflect his image. Jesus taught that over and over again. These words, though placed in the context of certain people, certain roles, are reflective of what Jesus taught in his lifetime. So what does this passage do, and what does it not do? Well, one thing it does is it doesn't let us skip over it. This is embedded in this letter, so we cannot just simply come to verse 17 and go to the end and go, I'm looking for words I like better. We have to stop and read it and struggle with it. Secondly, we cannot read it as a standalone passage. It was not written that way, and like other Bible passages, it cannot be interpreted that way. It must be used with context. Third, it requires us to see these instructions in the light of the new covenant between God and his people. The world in which we live is broken, but our church, our faith, reflects the will of God and the teaching and love of Christ. And fourth, this passage, which acknowledges the reality of societal norms, which, by the way, still exist in society today, it does not relieve us of the need to work for social justice, because in the setting of the Church of Jesus Christ, the norms are different. And we are called to follow Christ, to show his light and his love, and to take his gospel, the truth of his gospel, to others. We are called to work for the benefit of all. We are called to give help to those who need help. And so we must hear these words, these harmful words, in the setting of the resurrection. For we are called to live as people of the new covenant. Those who live in a broken world live in broken relationships. And living in broken relationships in a broken world allows them to take advantage of this inequality. We use the expression, lord it over them. But we have a Lord above us. How we live in the world requires us, therefore, to look up and not down. It requires us to live in the resurrection. Let's look again at Philippians. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus submitted. Jesus obeyed. Jesus followed the will of God even to death. So let us live in the light of that sacrifice. Put on the clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and love. Remember to live in the joy of the resurrection. Let go of the ways of the sinful world. Look up and value your relationships, whoever they are with, because it is not good for us to be alone. In humility, value others above yourselves. take on the nature of a servant, put the needs of others first, submit, and learn to obey. Do what is right, whether someone is watching you or not. Remember, we all have a master in heaven. So see others not as superior or inferior, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul tells us to do these things as people of the new covenant, because that new covenant means that we are one in Christ, and Christ is one in us. Amen.